spiritual rebirth, the old becoming brand new. Not a little bit different, not a small change, but one version of ourselves goes down, never to come up again, and a new comes up, born again. This sermon, whether Zach knew it or not, chases down that very thought. This summer, we've been discussing really hard and challenging foundational topics in the Christian faith. And today's topic that we'll be talking about is, what does it mean to live this transformed life? What does it look like? And what happens when people get brought into church but don't actually experience the transformed life? And I didn't know if I would have a good example of what that looks like. And then when I got home from my camping trip a few days ago, I saw something, and it stood out to me. It was a tree branch. Tree branches are not out of the ordinary. You probably have them in your yard too. But I bet yours wasn't laying in the middle of the back alley. Mine was. So imagine my surprise as I get home from BC, and here's a tree branch, long enough maybe to fit in between this monitor speaker and this one over here. Got lots of little shoots on it, lots of leaves, and it's flat on the ground. Well, for a day or two, that branch looked completely fine. I came home on Monday night. It's Tuesday and Wednesday. You would hardly tell there was anything different. The leaves were green. It was nice and bushy, but something happened. Any of you who chopped down parts of the tree would know that a few days later, all of a sudden, all the leaves curl up, the color changes. It was not alive anymore. It was undeniable. It was dead. The tree branch doesn't belong on the ground. It can't be sustained on the ground. Its nutrients doesn't come from laying on the asphalt in the back alley. It was no longer part of its tree. When I think about us as a church family and other families too that gather and worship, we've had moments like this. And you might even know those people. Those people that looked like healthy branches. Those people who attended church services, were part of the church family, good people. And all of a sudden, one day, maybe they stopped. Maybe years ago. And you'd go and you'd talk to them, and you'd find out they were done. They were done going to church. You thought, that's odd. When I saw you at church, it looked real to you. So why, how could it just be done like that? And this morning, as we sit with some of the scriptures that we're going to read, what we need to sit with is what it looks like when we don't live the transformed life, and then what the transformed life actually looks like. Because I'm afraid that even for myself, I can fall into a complacent attitude or posture. What I mean by that is a posture where on the outside, I look like a healthy Christian, but then there's very little fruit, very little Holy Spirit change and action coming out of me. Because if I'm a transformed person, I shouldn't look just a little bit different than the old version of me. I should look like a brand new creation. But not just me. What happens, though, when people come and sit in churches and they have for years and years, but no transformation has taken place in their heart? Maybe they were told that simply attending church and being a good person, that's all you have to do. Maybe that's how they were raised, and they truly didn't know any different than that. Until one day, they didn't want to go anymore, and they stopped. And they never came back. You see, we, as a church family, need to be so aware that we're not creating just cultural Christians, people who are believing this misconception, this lie, that being a good person and attending church services is what God asks of us. And this matters because we live in an incredibly blessed country. A country where many of us, our parents and grandparents, probably attended church. Everyone attended church. Whether it mattered to them, made a difference in their lives or not, they probably, for a while, attended church. But if you haven't been reborn, if you haven't been transformed, you're a branch, my friends, lying in the alley. From far away, you might look like a Christian because you go to church services. And you try not to smoke and drink too much or any at all. You might look like a Christian, but when you get up close, you just see shriveled leaves. You see someone who's not alive, and you think, huh, I thought they went to church. But there is no change. So what happens when you move from dead to alive? And what does it look like to be alive? I think most of us know what it looks like to be dead, to be in our old ways, to be in our sin. What does it look like to be transformed? Well, in Romans chapter 12, as you get through the book of Romans, and Paul the missionary has been writing to this church, and these Jews and these Gentiles have been fighting with each other about what it really looks like to be saved. Who's really righteous? Is it Jewish rule followers, or is it Gentiles who have faith? And from Romans chapter 1 to 11, he's been developing this argument that is, it is our faith that saves us. Not our hard work, but that we shouldn't take it for granted that God has given us this incredible mercy, and then this faith needs to lead to a change of action. So when you hit Romans 12, which we often read, it comes after a long lesson of him building this case that your work doesn't save you, but a changed person looks different. Their life looks different. So as we read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, follow along and take a look at what these verses have to say. This is from my ESV Bible. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed, listen to this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, perfect. See, we, you and me, our families, we are called to lay down everything. And boy, I don't want to, and I'd be a hypocrite to say that it was fun and easy all the time. It's not. But living sacrifice, do you understand that? That's us. That's not us bringing an animal like they would have in the Old Testament. That's me saying I'm willing to lay down all of Darren for God in light of what he's done for me. Now, as overflowing out of my faith, I will lay down everything for you. And Paul says the world, those who don't follow Jesus, they're conforming us. There's pressure all the time, and you better believe there is. There's pressure. There's pressure to compromise my faith. There's pressure to not be honest. There's pressure to chase after wealth and possessions. There's pressure to make me the center of my world. There's pressure to put myself ahead of my wife. There's pressure to just lose my temper on my kids and not be patient with them. There's pressure all the time, and it's squeezing, shaping, conforming. And Paul says to this church, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Instead, be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as a Christian, as me, as you, as our minds are made new, we're no longer thinking a tiny bit different, right? It's not a moral shift that I'm going to be a little bit better person. And I think that's where we lose some people who come into church. Because they might watch some of us as Christians and really think it's just about curbing some of our bad habits and being a little bit kinder and more patient. Maybe that's what a Christian is, just a little bit nicer version of a normal person. But this is a transformed person. Like a seed being put into the ground, and up comes a tree. It doesn't look like the seed. But now there's this huge tree full of branches, and it's producing life. It's producing fruit. And as a Christian, just like Zach is experiencing that as a young person, as a Christian, our mind is changed. Now all of a sudden we can begin to discern, what is God's will for us? What does God want? He wants what's pleasing. He wants what's holy, what's set apart. He wants what's acceptable and perfect and whole. He wants that for us. So do we look brand new? Or do we just look like a cleaned up version of the old us? Think about a couple of these verses. I'm going to read them out loud for you. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says this, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." This was a promise from the Old Testament that God's people would be transformed with new hearts, new spirits. Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, we've talked about this verse already, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born all over again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a," what? "New creation." New creation. So does Darren look new? Or does he just look cleaned up? Does he look new? When people encounter you and me, do they go, "Huh, you don't look anything like the old you. I hardly recognize you." New creation. Romans 8, 29. "For those whom God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So this is Paul saying to the Roman church that God's plan all along was for people who have faith in Jesus to be shaped to look like Jesus. So a transformed person, as we read these verses, should begin to look more like Jesus. Do you and I look more like Jesus? Jesus wasn't just a little bit more kind and a little bit more patient. Jesus wasn't like anyone. So gracious and forgiving, so loving, so sacrificial. Do we look like that? Ephesians chapter 4, the final verses here in this introduction. You might remember these verses, verses 22 to 24. Paul says to the Ephesian church, "Put off the old self, put it off, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." These are Bible-believing, these are passionate Christians. He spoke very highly of the church in Ephesus. And he's reminding them, take that old self off. Rip that thing off. Don't put it back on again. You're a new Christian. You're a new creation. Live in this new life, this new spirit of your mind. So friends, if all of us have been transformed, or if that's what we're truly desiring through the power of God's Holy Spirit, it should look radically different. And none of us, I think, are ready for the cost of what it costs to be radically different. We're going to talk about just a couple different areas in my life and maybe in yours, where you've been convicted to live completely differently than you used to. Going to talk about in our personal faith, in our family, and then in our church. And most, we're going to talk about family today. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about in your church family. So do you and I look radically different, transformed different in our faith, in our family, and in our church? First, in our faith. I would say that a radically transformed person, if you were to encounter them all by themselves with God, you're going to see something so different from the Christian who comes and sits in church services, sings the songs, but deep down there's no change in their heart. What you're going to see is so different because the person who's been transformed by Jesus listens, speaks, and follows. You just see that so clearly in Scripture. They listen to God. Maybe you know this Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's posted on the wall behind me if you want to take a peek. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus? Someone who's transformed is growing in that. What about Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7? It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted up, built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So a transformed person is rooted and built up in Jesus. So when you are not here in this room with all of us, when no one is watching, are you being built up and transformed by Jesus? Are you growing in him? Are you listening to the scriptures and the words that he spoke? Because a good sign that you're a dead branch lying in the back alley is that there's no growth between just you and God. Your Christian faith might be a Sunday morning show that you put on, and you might not even know it. You might think that's actually all that's required of you, is just to come and participate in these services. But friends, there's so much more to being a truly transformed person. So not just listening to God and his word, what about speaking to God? What about an active relationship of prayer? Seeking God. You probably know Jeremiah chapter 29. You'll recognize it when I start to read it. Verses 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And God says, I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seek him with all your heart. A transformed person doesn't just read the Bible and grow in his knowledge of what God has said, but a transformed person seeks God and speaks to him. It's a friendship. There's communication. Is that there for you? Is that there for me? Philippians chapter 4, this is a famous passage about prayer, verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So in every moment, is there this active communication between us and God? Is it there? I'm not saying, what's the best way to phrase this? This isn't a list of chores for us to work on when we get home. God, I don't believe he's measuring us to see how perfect we are. But for this friendship to be genuine between us and him, there has to be a level of us bringing our concerns and cares to him like we would to a close friend. And if you think to yourself, I've been in church my whole life, I don't really bring any of my cares and concerns to God, I would just ask you to sit and think about your friendship and relationship with him. Maybe it needs depth and development. Maybe there hasn't been a transforming power inside of you. It sounds like a high bar to meet, doesn't it? We need to be all of these things to be a real Christian. Makes me sound like a perfect person if I'm going to stand up here and claim to have all these things. But pay attention, my friends. These are just signs of growth and life. Is there growth in the tree branch of your life? You don't have to be the full size of a mature tree. We have lots of years to get there. But we have to be growing. We have to be alive. And if we're not, someone's got to tell us. The final step, when I was thinking about this personal faith in God, listen, speak, and follow. Following God. So not just listening to the scriptures and then speaking to him in prayer, but are you and I obeying him? Do our actions match the beliefs that we have in our heads? Do our hands and our feet live that out? So now we are as James chapter 1 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Not just people that come to church and listen to Pastor Darren read some of the Bible verses, but are we actually going home and living this way? I hope that we are. I hope that I am, and that we hold each other accountable, because transformed people follow what we read in the scriptures. That's how you distinguish between a branch connected to the tree and one that's fallen to the ground. But this middle section, I said faith, family, and church. Family is the one that we're going to sit with this morning for a few extra minutes. This is a good one. But this is also the most convicting one. It's much easier when I talk about areas of life where I don't struggle with, because then you can speak with a confidence, I've got this figured out, but we're about to step into one of my weak areas, and it's humbling. A transformed person is brand new in all these different areas, not just their personal relationship with God, but their life at home should look transformed and brand new. The scriptures talk about this. And in a couple of the verses that we're going to read, we're going to talk about marriage and children. But I want you to know that if you're not married and if you don't have children, there's other intimate relationships in your life that are similar to these. These are about having a huge impact on those you're responsible for and who you're intimately close with. Some of this, I think, can be extended family. Some of this, I think, can be close friends. But these verses in particular are going to talk about the marriage relationship and then the relationships between parents and children. Building up their faith, on one hand, I talk with my hands a lot, don't I? Building up their faith with one hand, and then on the other one, loving them ahead of yourselves. I'll say it again. Building up their faith as a follower of Jesus, and loving them ahead of yourselves. I see that's a good way of describing what a transformed person looks like when they go home. Not just up here when we're wearing our dress clothes, but the version of me that you don't get to see. The one who loses his temper. The one who doesn't have enough patience with his kids. The one that struggles. The one at home. So in these two areas, am I building up the faith of my wife and of my kids, and am I loving them ahead of myself? Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the marriage relationship. And in the marriage relationship, Paul, the great missionary, is writing to this church, and he's comparing the relationship between Jesus and all of us and a marriage. No pressure. No pressure at all, guys. But he says that Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. And now, husbands, love your wives that way. Just as Jesus, as Christ, loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. This is a long one. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor. In what form? Without a spot, without a wrinkle, or any such thing. That she would be holy, without blemish. So if Jesus is actively changing us as a church, so that we're washed clean, sanctified, no blemishes, and he says, husbands, hey, you got work to do when you get home. Make sure you work on that. What does that mean? Well, in a world like their world back then and our world now, where it'd be so easy for a husband to get caught up in his own life, to not see his wife and his children as being valuable of his time and energy and sacrifice, Paul, this preacher and powerful teacher, is pushing them to consider how they can disciple one another. So am I discipling and building up the faith of my spouse? Not just living with her, not just enjoying having a best friend, but am I loving her the Jesus way? the way that helps her to become holy, the way that helps her to become washed clean. Because one day the two of us are going to stand before Jesus in heaven, and he's going to look at her as a disciple and as a follower of him. And boy, I hope that I have assisted her in becoming closer to Jesus over our relationship together. Do we do that with our best friends? Or if you're in a marriage relationship, do you do that with your spouse? Maybe that's awkward for you to have spiritual conversations with your spouse. Maybe it's awkward for you to pray with your spouse. Maybe that's not a habit of yours. Well, it's awkward for me too. But a transformed person thinks about these things and pursues them. So how can we, whether we have that close marriage relationship or those best friends, how can we make sure that we're pouring into them as a disciple? I can't speak for being a wife. I've never tried it. I've only been a husband. But it's so easy to be selfish and self-centered. It's so easy to focus only on me. And this is so sacrificial to put her ahead of me. Are we doing that? Because friends, if we come to church and sing these songs and go home, but we're not actively helping our spouse grow closer to Jesus, we may look like a branch. We may look like a tree. I don't know. There's not a lot of fruit if we're not helping our wives grow to know Jesus more closely. Let's live this transformed life and pour into our spouses. Colossians chapter 3. This is similar to Ephesians 5, but in Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19, he talks about wives and about husbands. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives. Don't be harsh with them." Do you hear that in this passage? Both spouses are commanded to act in humility. Humility. If your marriage isn't close, if you as a husband aren't actively loving your wife, if you've treated her more like a roommate or a cook or a servant, and the two of you don't have a close friendship, then what would motivate you to humble yourself before her and put her ahead of you? And what about if you're the wife who hasn't been treated like a loving partner? What if you're the wife who's been treated like the servant, like the roommate, like the cook and the cleaner, but not the best friend? What would make you want to sacrificially pour out more and more sacrifice and humble yourself before your husband? But Paul is teaching this church, and through this scripture, teaching me and you today, this powerful lesson. We need to put each other first. That doesn't mean just be kind or nice or sweet or sentimental. Humble ourselves before one another. That's real sacrifice. That's costly. That changes your relationship. But boy, does that ever bring you closer together when you know that your spouse would lay down anything to love you first and the other spouse would do the same back. Transformed marriages should look like that. And I hope that through time and work from the power of the Holy Spirit, mine looks like that one day. But a lot of the time, it doesn't. Do we do this? I hope we do. How about with our kids? Maybe you have kids, maybe you don't. Maybe this can be other kids in your life that you pour into, whether it's part of your extended family or here at church. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it." Train up your children. You know how easy it is to come to church, dump off your kids with a Sunday school teacher, for them to go down into that class for an hour? Maybe they're teenagers. Maybe they're with the youth pastor. They'll take care of it. They'll teach them the Bible lessons. And then you get your kid back at the end of Sunday school, go through the church service, off you go. You hear stories of families who've just fallen into this rut. Someone else will teach my kids. Maybe I don't know enough about the Bible to teach my kids. Maybe I don't want to sacrifice the time and energy to teach my kids. Maybe it's just not a priority to me, and I'd rather spend my time on myself. But if we don't train them up, then when they're old, which way are they going to go? This is convicting. Because if we want to see them follow Jesus, we got to pour into them. But that means putting them ahead of myself. So do you and I, as transformed people, pour into them to see their faith grow? Like I said, whether you have little kids, teenagers, maybe your children are adults, do you have spiritual conversations with them? Do you pour into them to build them up and train them up? We have to be active in this. We have to be intentional. Intentional means living with a purpose. Are you purposeful in this? I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of skipping Bible reading time, of being too tired to do devotions, of wanting that time for myself, me. And then I feel like it's the Holy Spirit inside of me just keeps reminding me, Darren, you've got to continue to pour into them. They're watching, they're listening. And it needs to come from you. Not just a nice Sunday school teacher, but from their family. They need to see it in you. Do we train up our children in the way they should go? I hope that we do. A transformed person should. And what about loving them ahead of ourselves? You could read Colossians 3, verse 21, or Ephesians 6, 4. They're both so similar. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Colossians says, lest they become discouraged. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Boy, is it easy to provoke children to anger. Boy, is it easy to lose my temper and lose my patience. I almost did halfway through singing time. They wouldn't be quiet. I just turned around and I looked at them. I'm like, what are you doing? We're trying to sing. I'm like, oh, okay, Darren, easy. Go back to singing. That is a sacrifice in itself. It'd be so easy if I was not a transformed person with the Holy Spirit to just turn and explode on the children in anger. And that must have been what some of them were doing for Paul to say, stop doing that. But instead of treating your children like garbage and treating yourself ahead of them, what if you considered how they're feeling? What if you didn't provoke them to anger? What if you focused on not discouraging them? But what if you brought them up to know Jesus instead? And Jesus wouldn't have turned and yelled at his kids in anger. He would have found a way to be patient and kind. He would have found a way to love them through the discipline and training of raising kids. Friends, are we transformed parents? Or are we just a little bit better version of all the other parents in town? Boy, let's hope that we're completely transformed. That when people see me and the way I treat my kids and talk to them, they look at me and go, you're really different, Darren. I've seen a lot of parents, but boy, what you're doing with the boys, that stands out. That should be what they say about us. I hope they do. We're going to finish just with a couple minutes on talking about the final one, faith, family, and church. What should your relationship look like in the church family if you're a transformed person? Well, we should be building one another up. Listen to this from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you spur on and stir up one another to love and good works? When you visit with other parents in the church, other husbands, other wives, other friends, do you spur them on to follow Jesus, or do you talk about the weather over coffee? Like, that's a serious question, because if we all get together and have a cup of coffee and chat about the weather, we're no different than the farmers at the co-op. We're no different than the teachers in the staff room at the comp. We're no different than anybody else. Knock it off. Why are we here if that's all we're going to do? That's not it. That's not this. This is being transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we get together, sure, we can talk about the weather and the crazy rain. Apparently, Rhineland gets 7 inches of rain every week now. Where did that come from? I don't know, but it happens. So, yes, we can talk about it. But what about when the conversation goes further? What if I ask you, how are you growing in your faith? And you ask me, Darren, how are you growing in your faith? Spurring on one another. Proverbs chapter 27, the final verse we're going to read this morning. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Are we sharpening one another? That requires some friction, though, doesn't it? That's going to generate some heat. That's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be smooth. It's going to be challenging. But a good sign of a transformed person is that you are actively sharpening and being sharpened by one another. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the ways that we're actively doing that in our church family. But hopefully, by the end of this message, I've been convicted of it. I hope all of us are thinking more about what does it look like to live with purpose, to live intentionally, to be a transformed person. Like Zach said, a new creation, spiritually born again. Because that's what we're all about in our church family, is being transformed in Jesus. Let's pray together as we close our worship service this morning. Would you bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is not just, these aren't just words written for a lesson for us to consider for a moment and then forget as we go home. You are the holy, powerful creator of all things, the loving, sacrificial God on the cross. You forgive us, transform us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit, giving us the power to live a brand new life. So Holy Spirit, this is my prayer to you, all-powerful God. Holy Spirit, would you change our broken hearts? I believe that you've taken out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, but I still struggle with the old self. I fall into that trap all the time. Lord Jesus, would you give us strength, boldness, and courage as we walk in this new self? Would you sanctify us, Lord Jesus, transform us day by day as we work to love other people more than ourselves and build up followers of Jesus in our church and in our home and in our personal life? I pray for Zach, who just got baptized, that you would continue this journey, Lord Jesus, of changing him the rest of his life, and that it would trickle into the rest of his family and into his friends. I pray that would trickle out of each one of us into the circles of friends and communities and families that we're all a part of. Jesus, we love you. We love this church family that you've made us a part of and the families that we're in. Give us the strength to live a powerful, Holy Spirit transformed life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. Thank you so much for coming today.